It is Jay's Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Blue Jays bouncing back with a victory over the Red Sox today, 7-2. No bullpen meltdown on this Saturday evening at Fenway Park. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you. As always, you can reach us on the text line, 59590. Just give us your name and your location, as we'll talk to Kevin Barker coming up in just a few moments to get his thoughts on this ball game. But Josh, a lot of positives to talk about in this one today, as opposed to yesterday's bullpen meltdown, which overshadowed all of the positives today, and felt like deja vu a little bit there in the latter stretches of this game when the Blue Jays had the lead in the sixth inning. Steven Matz was cruising pretty much, and then he gets knocked around a little bit, has to come out of the game. Anthony Castro comes in. He's able to, you know, work his way out of it, of course, but then Rafael Dolis comes in, walks the leadoff batter, and you're thinking it's a four-run game at that point after Rafael Devers hits the RBI triple, and you're thinking, you only got to get six more outs, but are there enough pitchers to get six outs? And in the end, the Blue Jays do it, as Rafael Dolis gives up just the one earned run. And then Jordan Romano, who we all had question marks about whether or not he would be available today, comes out throwing 99 miles an hour. As I said on Twitter, @WongSN590, still not sure how you go from having a guy with forearm tightness one day to throwing 99 the next day, but worked out in the end, and good to see Jordan Romano back out there.
Yeah, very, very nice to get a win. A lot of positives. Let's be positive today. You know, yesterday was just such a dumpster fire that it's nice to have something positive to talk about. And I thought Matz was excellent. You could tell, I get the sense you can tell pretty quickly with him if he's going to be good Matz or bad Matz. And the fastball is generally what I feel like is going to be the differentiator in terms of success versus not having success. And his fastball was good today. He's getting a ton of swings and misses. He featured his other three pitches pretty frequently, the slider probably the least, but he threw a bunch of good changeups and a bunch of good curveballs. And there's a lot of good right-handed hitters and a lot of good right-handed hitters against left-handed pitching in particular, who just couldn't seem to time him up and had no sense of what was coming. And yeah, he kind of cracked a little bit down the stretch there in the sixth inning, over 100 pitches, but very, very good job from him today. And you'd love to see more of this going forward. There's too much really high and then really low. Let's get more of a middle ground and then less of the lower half of things, and try and trend up more often, and you'll have a pretty good pitcher.
Yeah, just a little bit more consistency from Steven Matz, please. Let's give our players of the game. I'll go with Kevin Biggio today. 3-for-4 on the afternoon. Really swinging it today. Had a couple of big-time exit velocity swings today as well. And, you know, batting eighth, it's pretty good to have a guy that can bat eighth and have the approach that he had at the plate today. Was swinging the bat pretty well. Just his second game back, and could be a big difference maker here for the Blue Jays in the bottom of the bottom of their order. Who are you going with today as far as your player of the game?
So Biggio was great, and I agree, he just brings a competent left-handed bat back into the lineup, especially in the bottom third of the order, which has been pretty much a black hole for the last couple of weeks. That's a nice piece to have back in. But I'm going to go with Matz. 8 strikeouts, 5 2/3, 1 earned against a pretty quality lineup, and he did a nice job, I thought, particularly against JD Martinez a couple of times. Kike Hernandez has crushed lefties in his career. He was good against him. Really, really nice stuff this afternoon from Steven Matz.
All right, you're listening to Jay's Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you. Blue Jays winning it 7-2 over the Red Sox. You can send us your text, 59590. Give us your name and your location here with you until the top of the hour. Right now, though, please be joined by Kevin Barker to get his thoughts on the win today. And as Josh mentioned, Kevin, let's talk about the positives today. We don't need to keep talking about the bullpen, because today they didn't struggle, so they were not a big issue today. But let's talk about the offense, because you've got 26 hits now in the first two games of this series against the Boston Red Sox. What are you seeing from the Jays hitters, who seem to be all over everything that the Red Sox pitching has to offer right now?
Well, so through 62 games, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is the American League MVP. We'll start with that. Bo Bichette today, for the first time in a while, is using his eyes to direct his barrel to where the ball's going. You know, you see too many of that big, giant leg kick with the follow-through and the eyes looking in the third-base dugout. You didn't see that day. He had a single up the middle on the first pitch. In his first at-bat, he had the breaking ball for a home run that he hit. You watch his eyes. When his eyes are on the baseball, that keeps him level, that keeps him in line, that keeps his barrel in the hitting zone a lot longer, and we all know what he can bring, right? He's got everything you need to be a legit hitter, a high average guy that can hit a bunch of homers and drive in a bunch of runs. And quite frankly, with the way the bullpen is, they're going to really need him. You know, Vladdy's just not enough. Marcus Semien stepped up, right? 1-2-3 in the order today, had a combined 5 RBIs. It's what you do coming off a loss like that. You guys mentioned Kevin Biggio. Kevin Biggio, for me, needs to do one thing. Look for a strike below the belt. Stop trying to cover the entire strike zone vertically. You can't do it. Like his swing, because he has that launch angle thing where he has the bent upper half and the bend in the back elbow and the barrel's dipping below his waist. That just doesn't work on the ball elevated. Go up, look for something down. You see what happens, right? He can get fastballs down where he hit the double in the first at bat. He can get the breaking ball down that he can let travel a little bit, create some backspin and hit a ball out the left field. You know, he had the little swing and bump for a hit. That's when you have a good approach and you're swinging at the pitches you should swing at, you tend to get a few of those swing and bunt kind of things. Reese McGuire, right? Reese McGuire, for me, is going to play more. He's starting to get barrel to baseball. You know, he is one of the guys that could probably turn the lineup over, work some counts, you know, maybe run into one occasionally. I know this is just his first home run, but he looks to me like he has a chance. And you know, sometimes Riley Adams early on doesn't really look that like that, and we all know how Danny Jansen looks. So this is how, when you get kicked in the mouth, this is how you lean on what you do the best, which is their lineup, and that's what they did today.
So I wanted to ask you about Anthony Castro, who was very good today, 3 strikeouts. And I'm curious if you think maybe the deck chair should flip in the bullpen and maybe Castro pitches in the 8th inning instead of Dolis, who wasn't very good again. Like, what do you think of that? Or do you think that there's more work for Castro to do, especially against left-handed batters?
That's a great question. You know, I don't know if I really have the answer to that. I know they're really going matchup. They're really going, they like Dolis in the middle of the order, you know, 1-2-3, 4-5-6, somewhere in that range. They want Jordan Romano in those mixes too. Anthony Castro, you know, what's he do well? He likes to spin the ball. For me, he's not aggressive enough with the fastball. Where's he getting 98 from? Is that just because he's getting in the flow of the season? Is that because he's healthy? Is that because he has better finish to his pitches? Is that because he has confidence because Charlie's pitching him a little bit more in bigger situations? I don't know, but I know it's 98. If he can use that and then start using more of the slider, look, it's all hands on deck. You know, Tyler Chatwood, for me, you know, you could argue shouldn't even be on the team. And, you know, at least he's taken that spot. Does it depend on where he pitches in, you know, whether it's 7th inning, 8th inning, or 9th inning? You can lose in a game in the 7th inning too, right? We've seen that. So I don't think it really matters when he's pitching. If he's one of the big three, you use him like the big three, and I think that's what Charlie and Petey are trying to do. You can see it. You know, when the camera's panned over there, you can see the way their face is. You can see Charlie, like, you know, blowing out his lips. Like, he really has no idea who to go to and when to go to him. And if he does go to him, what are they going to give him? You know, Dolis, what is that, right? It's the spinning thing. It's the non-competitive pitches. It's the split finger that's not splitting. It's a lot of – you just don't like what you're seeing. And you know, Charlie, for me, needs a no-brainer. All the good teams in baseball have a no-brainer. They give their manager that guy that they know, okay, it's either the 8th or 9th inning. I don't care which inning it is, not worried about who's going to pitch the other two. If I need a couple of guys to do that in back-to-back days, at least I got that one inning taken care of. Now, if you're Charlie, he may not have 2 innings taken care of. So it's, you know, it's just one of those things where, again, you know, you need George Springer needs to hurry. And they need to score a ton of runs, a lot. And if they can do that, that'll take a little pressure off of everybody, especially Charlie Montoya.
Yeah, the Blue Jays scored 7 runs today, and at points it felt like it wasn't going to be enough in certain moments of this ballgame.
I'm with you.
It goes to show you how this bullpen's going right now. Let's talk about Steven Matz, Kevin. A nice outing today. I had the swing and miss stuff working at the curveball, really working today as well. What did you see out of Steven Matz's performance?
Well, first time through, he established his fastball. It's 96. You know, the first one's 96. The last one he threw was 96. He maintained the velocity the whole time. You know, the he faced seven righties. Now, Xander Bogaerts wasn't in the lineup. That's a big deal. And for a lefty to go into Fenway Park and only give up a run, is that what he did, a run? Yeah, it was a run, I think, not two runs. He had to establish the sinker in. He had to establish up and in. His misses were good with his fastball. You know, he had second time through, his breaking ball got a lot better. What'd he have? He had eight strikeouts, five of those on the breaking ball. The changeup was better the second time through. What the changeup did is, because he established the fastball, now he can miss a little bit more. He doesn't have to be as fine with the breaking ball. He doesn't have to be as fine with the changeup. That's why you were seeing a little bit weaker swings, because his right-handed hitters were going, hey, this thing got a little giddy up to it. Now I got to get it going a little bit more, and now you can get him to expand on some, you know, halfway decent secondary pitches. This is Steven Matz. You know, you're not expecting him to ever go seven innings. He's going to have to labor through some at-bats, and, you know, we saw him with a two-strike approach there in the sixth inning, bat foot a curveball and hit a guy when, you know, that's one of those, you get it more vertical, you get a swing and miss, he's getting you through six, now you have to hand it over to three guys instead of four guys. So it's right, it's a solid outing. Anytime you can go into Fenway Park for a, you know, a pretty good offensive team and walk away being left-handed with the lead and you get a win, you take that again every day of the week.
Yep, absolutely, especially with some of the performances Matz has had of late and against the Red Sox last month at Dunedin, giving up five earned runs there. But a nice performance today by Steven Matz. Thanks as always, Kevin. Appreciate the time. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Have a good night, everybody.
There's Kevin Barker joining us here on Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Blue Jays winning at 7-2 over the Red Sox this afternoon. Steven Matz giving up one earned run over 5 2/3 as Marcus Semien, Bo Bichette, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. with his major league leading 20th, Reese McGuire and Kevin Biggio all go yard today at Fenway Park. We will hear from Kevin Biggio when we continue here on Jays Talk. We'll also get to your text. 590-590 is where you can reach us. Give us your name and your location. Blue Jays beat the Red Sox 7-2. You're listening to Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Long, Josh Goldberg on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
He has the patience of a saint at the plate and the discipline of a monk all wrapped into one. Kevin Biggio and the Toronto Blue Jays play here on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Oh, one, another curve, and Biggio gets it in the air, left center field, and this one is gone. Up into the monster seats, an opposite field home run for Biggio, number four on the season, and it is 3-0 Blue Jays.
There is Kevin Biggio with the homer this afternoon, his fourth of the season, and first since coming off the IL as the Blue Jays win it 7-2 over the Red Sox. It's Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Long, Josh Goldberg with you. We'll get to your texts coming up as well. 590-590 is where you can reach us. Give us your name and your location. But right now, let's hear from Kevin Biggio, who spoke with Sportsnet's Hazel May after today's ballgame.
Kevin Biggio, congratulations. Your home run there in the fifth inning was a really nice sign for you coming back to the starting lineup. You swung at the first pitch you saw from Pivetta for that double, Kevin, and then an 0-1 pitch for that home run. You guys were swinging awfully early in counts. How much was that part of the game plan based on what you knew and saw from Pivetta this afternoon?
You know, a guy like Pivetta, he's going to come right at you. He's got good stuff, a good heater, and a pretty good curveball. So he's going to challenge you from pitch one. So to get it going early on in the count, not letting him get in the groove, you know, definitely trying to be aggressive and, you know, put runs up early.
As you well know, Fenway Park has long been known to be a big boost to right-handed batters. How do you make it work, the dimensions of the ballpark work for you?
Yeah, I found it. I found the wall useful for left-handed hitters, you know, with letting the ball get deep a little bit and, you know, especially with fly balls that are usually outs in most places, let it hit off the wall and maybe get a double out of it. So it is pretty deep out there to right, straightaway right. But it can be used as an advantage to a left-handed hitter as well.
You're having a terrific first series since coming back to the starting lineup. The time on the IL obviously helped you get better physically. How has it helped you as far as your mental side of the game?
Yeah, definitely. Dealing with my neck injury and just, you know, showing up to the yard and just trying to get that thing going and A lot of that focus took away from, the baseball side of the preparation. So definitely easier on the mind coming to the ballpark and knowing you're going to feel better and put in the work to get you prepared for that game.
There is Blue Jays utility man. Hard to really describe what he is, Josh, at this point. Third baseman. We saw him play right field today, both positions, all over the place, as we know with Kevin Biggio. But one thing that we do know is he can provide a bat, and we really haven't seen it a ton so far this season. The OPS still sitting at 685 after today's 3-for-4 efforts. We know how poor of a start he got off to, but if he can become the hitter that we've seen him the last couple of years so far in his major league career, that adds just such a big dynamic to this lineup. George Springer is one thing. We obviously know that when he returns, this lineup gets sent to another level. But, Kevin Biggio is doing, stuff like that today as an eight hitter. It just shows you how deep this lineup truly can.
Yeah, coming into this season, Kevin Biggio was an above average offensive player in his first two big league years. I know last year was only a 60 game season, but between the two seasons, we're talking about 159 games and a WRC plus of around 120. So that is well above average. And I understand it was a really tough start and he wasn't playing particularly good in the field. And a lot of people were saying, oh, well, play Espinal more, keep Biggio down in the minors, keep Espinal up and play Panic and Espinal. And that's just, come on, that's bonkers. Like, what are you talking about? Kevin Biggio is, he's not going to be an all-star. I've said this a number of times. He's not going to leap off the page offensively, I think. But he is somebody who has a little bit of pop. I think that the deadened ball probably is going to hurt him going forward. But I still think he's somebody who can threaten 20 home runs. He runs the bases pretty well. He has sneaky speed. And he obviously has a patient eye and can work a walk. And, yeah, he might not hit much better than 230. But if he hits 230 and gets on base at a clip of about 350, which I think is 340, which I think is very attainable with his eye, and mixes in 15 to 20 homers, that is an above average offensive player by almost any metric. And I still have a ton of confidence that that's the type of player he can be. And if he can have a 105 or 110 WRC plus when league average is 100 and he's batting, 7th, 8th, or 9th, whatever it is, in the bottom third of the order when it's fully healthy, that's a pretty damn good spot to be in terms of the composition and the ability to turn over your lineup.
Yeah, it definitely does. And, just having that lefty bat adds such a different dynamic to this team. I know Rowdy Tellez has had some moments in this series where he's stung the ball pretty hard, hasn't gotten a ton of great results, of course. But, if he can get it going, that would obviously change some things as well to have that bench bat off the bench. But Kevin Biggio, of course, would be someone that would be playing pretty much every single day, whether it's at third base, whether it's in the outfield, wherever they need him, he's going to go out there. And having a lefty bat that can do what he did today would definitely stand out for this ball club that is very right-handed heavy. Got to talk about Vladdy Jr., of course. Another game, ho-hum, his 20th homer of the season right off the hop in the top of the first inning. Just a monster shot over the Green Monster off Nick Bavetta, his league-leading 20th of the season so far. And with today's effort, he joins George Bell and Carlos Delgado with 20 homers, 50 RBIs in the first 62 games of the regular season. And feels like we say this all the time. I know for me, like, I don't even know how to describe it anymore. Like, this is just who he is. Kind of feels the same way when Jose Bautista was having his, breakout seasons in 2010 and 2011. You just sort of think, yep, this is a new player, and this is how he's going to be moving forward. Not saying Vladdy's going to continually put up 1,100 OPSs over his entire career. I think he might be playing a little bit over his head at this point, but even then, I mean, if he's a little less than what he is right now, that's still one of the top 10, top 5 hitters in all of Major League Baseball. And right now, for me, there's not much argument. He is the number one hitter in all of the MLB.
Coming into today, we're talking about WRC plus, weighted runs created plus, league average is 100, talking about, if Kevin Biggio can be 105, 110, somewhere in that range, that would be great. Coming into today, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s WRC plus this season in 61 games, 260 plate appearances, 197. So that is, I got to look up Barry Bonds' best seasons. I'm sure he's had a number of 200 plus WRC plus seasons, which is just, Barry Bonds is the gold standard for offensive production. No one will ever reach it again. It is, it's baseball porn in terms of numbers. It's just, it's a level that we'll never see. But Vlad Jr. right now, if there's no one on base, why on earth would you ever throw him? Well, honestly, in any situation, why throw him much in the way of fastballs, right? His pitch recognition is so good that it might not even matter. He'll probably just draw a walk. But anything resembling the middle of the plate, he's probably going to do damage on it. It doesn't matter if it's a fastball. It doesn't matter if it's a breaking ball. If it hangs in the zone or the fastball is in the zone in some way, shape, or form, if he's not hitting a home run, he's putting a good swing on it. And it's just, I can probably count the number of really bad at-bats he's had. I think on one hand this year, there's been a couple, but there haven't been too many where he's just looked overmatched or overswung or taken himself out of his comfort zone. This is honestly the ultimate melding of talent and patience and IQ and everything all coming together at the same exact time, and it is just absolutely beautiful. It's a work of art to see. And the fact that the Jays are 32-30, considering all of that, kind of goes to show how mediocre the rotation has been and how brutal the bullpen has been. Definitely shades of Mike Trout here, where he's putting up, you know, Ted Williams type numbers, and the team is hovering, struggling to stay around 500.
Yeah, it's truly remarkable at this point. I'm just, you know, I wish we could fast forward a little bit here just to see where the numbers end up being at the end of the season. I think I keep seeing people say that right now he's on pace to hit somewhere in the neighborhood of 52 homers, which is truly absurd. I remember beginning, you know, at the start of the season when Vladdy was on this run, and we talked about, you know, is he more likely to hit 50 homers at some point in his career or hit 375, you know, 375, obviously not going to be attainable. He'd have to be just on an incredible run to finish up there. But at that point, it felt like every single game he was hitting, you know, picking up two or three hits. But, you know, now 50 bombs, man, that's definitely on the table if he continues at this rate. And we didn't get to talk about this last night, but maybe we can talk about it right here. Can we finally put to bed this notion about the whole home-road splits
yes.
with Vladdy?
Jeez.
Like, I know the home splits for him this year are truly, truly absurd. But when you're hitting balls 430, 440, 450 feet, that's going to play anywhere. So, like, the idea that Vlad was only performing at home, you're hitting 450-foot bombs at home, you're going to be able to hit 450-foot bombs at any ballpark. And it's just kind of crazy how good he has been at home, first in Dunedin, now at Salem Field in Buffalo. And obviously, you know, nothing to shake a stick at when the numbers, you look at the away road numbers as well. I mean, last night's game definitely helped. I think he was hovering around 800 OPS coming into yesterday's ball game. Now he's obviously way over that. But it wasn't as if he was like a below average player on the road. He was like above average, yeah. Well above average on the road. Yeah. It's just that his home numbers were just on a ridiculous, ridiculous level.
Yeah, when your OPS at home is approaching 1500 or certainly well north of 1400 and your road OPS is, you know, half or slightly more than half. Okay, that's stark, but it would be one thing if your home OPS was 900 and your road OPS was 450 or 500 or something like that. Then okay, but it's not as if the bottom fell out and he was a horrible offensive player away from the friendly confines of TD Ballpark or Salem Field. He's a god at those two, it seems like, and just maybe a mere really good mortal on the road. But he's definitely, I'll have to check after this afternoon's ballgame with a home run. The road OPS has got to be north of 900 after what he did yesterday, reaching, what was it, four times, hitting a home run, and then hitting another home run today. Now we're talking about a really good offensive player by any metric. And my motto is, generally speaking, to always bet on talent. It doesn't matter where you are. I said this yesterday. I tweeted this out yesterday. Buffalo, Dunedin, Florida, Boston, Massachusetts, Pluto, the moon, where at the Milky Way, wherever. If you have talent, you will hit. And Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has all of the talent in the world, and he is hitting. And I think the OPS on the road, that was just an easy story to focus on because it was noticeable because of how good the home road, the home OPS was. But yeah, I didn't really bat an eyelash on it. And it's good to see that he's raking so far this weekend on the road in Boston.
We'll get to the texts when we continue here on Jays Talk, but I just saw one come across and I wanted to address it quickly. Ruben in Alberta says, "Hey guys, saying that Vladito is over his head is like going back to your last year's take saying that he was overrated and overhyped. Wasn't us.
No, I never said that.
Definitely not us. We can go back and check the receipts. I've never sold any of my Vladdy stock. Same with Josh. Yeah, of course, we talked about his struggles, but to say that we called him overrated and overhyped, you were probably listening to a different show. That was not us speaking about him on this radio station whatsoever. We are enjoying the ride here and very happy that we did not sell any Vladdy stock as he continues to be the best hitter in all of Major League Baseball. His 20th homer of the season today, Blue Jays winning it 7-2 over the Red Sox. Jays Talk continues. We're brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers, Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Vladdy makes in-game at-bats look like batting practice. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and the Toronto Blue Jays play here on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's Jays Talk brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers, Rob Long, Josh Goldberg. Blue Jays picking up the 7-2 win over the Red Sox as they bounce back. No bullpen meltdown today. Anthony Castro, Tim Mesa, Rafael Dolis, and Jordan Romano combined for 3 1/3 innings of one-run ball as Steven Matz got the win. He went 5 2/3, pitched into the sixth, gave up one earned run on 4 hits and 2 walks while striking out 8. Let's hear from the Blue Jays lefty.
Hey, Steven, obviously it looked like you had a working out there today. What specifically was feeling good for you?
I think my fastball, curveball combo, and then kind of keep my balance with the changeup was how I attacked him today. And so, you know, it's good to have the curveball going like that. That was something that I needed to get going, so it felt good.
You've been going deep into a couple of these starts and doing it consistently and maintaining your velocity as well. How are you feeling physically compared to past seasons, getting closer to that midway point?
Yeah, I feel really strong. I feel really good. You know, I feel like in the past, what would happen, my velocity would drop and my stuff would kind of diminish a little bit as I would start to get over that 100 pitch mark or so. And so, you know, I made a little adjustments. I don't throw as much in between starts and kind of, you know, getting with the training staff and the strength coaches and stuff and just kind of have a good routine that works. And so it's been working as far as that goes. So
thanks for the time, Steven. I was just kind of wondering, it's like the third and a bit time through the rotation where kind of all the starters, same five guys are going. It wasn't that case at the beginning of the year. What's kind of like the confidence level as a staff overall right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's good to build off each other. You know, it's good to, it's everybody's kind of in a groove and, you know, you're gonna have ups and downs, but yeah, it's definitely good to have a, you know, that five run out there, especially with the way the game is now. Us starters, we kind of take pride in having that starting spot. And so, yeah, it's cool. It's definitely cool to see.
We're kind of running out of things to say about Vladdy. I was kind of wondering, what are your thoughts about him and what he's kind of doing this year?
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. I'm just glad I get to watch it and witness it. You know, from spring training on, I mean, he's just been, you know, just doing what he's doing. And so it's been an absolute blast to be on this side with him and watch him do what he does, watch him do what he's been doing, I guess. But yeah, it's been awesome.
Hey, Steven, obviously yesterday's game was a tough loss for you guys. I just wondered, resiliency is a term that gets thrown around a lot with this team. And I just wondered, you know, if you could articulate how your team is usually able to bounce back from some of those losses.
You know, even though we have a good young bunch of guys in this team, we also have some veteran guys. I think those guys, you know, been around and done it. And, you know, I think they help out in that regard, kind of guys like Simeon and others. And so, you know, it's a good team. You feel like you're always in the fight when you have a lineup like that. It can put up five runs in an inning, you know, at the drop of a hat. And so I think that gives us pitchers confidence as well to just keep staying in the fight.
There is Blue Jays starter Steven Matz, who gets his seventh win of the season today, going 5 2/3, giving up an earned run on 4 hits, 2 walks while striking out 8, lowering the ERA to 4.26. And Josh, it feels like we say this all the time. Let's see if Steven Matz can carry it in over to the next starts. And at times he's been able to do it, and other times he has not been able to do it. But he's got good stuff. Like, you throw 96 from the left side, you've got, you know, some decent breaking pitches. It's just consistency. That's really all it comes down to for Steven Matz. Sometimes he just sort of loses the plots. And we saw it his last outing against the Astros, where he got, you know, knocked around a little bit. And today you're thinking, man, there's some tough righties in this lineup. Can he get it done? And he did. So it's really hard to know on a game-to-game basis which Steven Matz are going to get. But on the whole, you know, 4.26 ERA, if you told people Steven Matz was going to have 7 wins and lead this team, I think, you know, everybody would have taken it at this point.
No question about it. It's been a bit of a roller coaster. So you would, like we're talking about, like to see more consistency. But his fastball was up today, almost, I think, a mile per hour from his yearly average, 95.4, 94.8. So certainly a half a mile. And I think that that probably helped. The fastball just seemed to take off on some batters, especially up in the zone. And he got some late rise to it and induced a lot of tough swings. And he basically scrapped his slider. He only threw it 4 times. And he got multiple whiffs on his changeup, his curveball, and his sinker. And his called strike plus whiff percentage, which is obviously called strikes and swinging strikes, was 33% on 111 pitches, which is really, really good. That's if he can be certainly high 20s, but if he can be creeping into 30% in that category, then I think good things are going to continue to happen. I would imagine he'll line up for a start probably in the series finale against the Yankees, if I had to guess, considering there's no off days in between now and then. So that would obviously be a test, unless I'm wrong and it's the first start against the O's, which would obviously be great, but needs to back it up. You can't have this up, down, Jekyll and Hyde sort of thing. Let's see if you can stack quality starts on top of each other.
Yeah, seeing a text at 590 from our buddy Wolf in Toronto, says, I really hope Steven Matz can stay consistent. Seems like he has one good start, then one bad start. If he can't continue to do what he did today against Boston and New York, it just makes the rotation that much better. Getting a couple of texts as well. Kevin from Bowmanville, and seeing one as well from Peter in Toronto, both talking about Jordan Romano, who came into this game with a 5-run lead in the bottom of the 9th inning. It's just the state of the bullpen, man. And, you know, we saw a bunch of guys pitch yesterday, so I wasn't expecting Charlie Montoyo to use any of those. You know, I guess you could have gone to Joel Piamps in that spot if you wanted to. But, you know, Charlie Montoyo has said this before, that he's just going to win the game that's in front of him. He's not too concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow. And coming off a game like the Blue Jays had on Friday night, the last thing that they could have wanted is to have another bullpen blow up. Because we always talk about it. There's only 1.5 guys they truly, truly trust, it seems, right now. It's Jordan Romano and it's Rafael Dolis. And we saw both of those guys in the game today. So I think in general, yeah, you don't love your closer coming in a 5-run game, especially a guy that just had, you know, reportedly forearm tightness yesterday and was battling that. But the Blue Jays, you know, wanted to get the win today, wanted to bounce back. And I can understand, you know, Charlie Montoyo wanting to do that this afternoon.
Yeah, definitely surprised that Romano pitched. You hear forearm tightness, you usually assume best case scenario is a couple of days. So that's certainly encouraging. Yeah, perfect world, you're not using your closer in a 5-run game. Very few major league clubs. I think Liam Hendricks was used earlier in the week, but he's a workhorse, and Tony La Russa is not going to be shy to use him. So I don't consider that the norm. That's probably more of an exception. But there's just no one else. You could have gone to Thornton, I suppose, or like you said, Piamps. But with the way things have been going, you just wanted to put the kids to bed here. And he threw 8 pitches. I think he topped the fastball out. I certainly saw him hitting 97 a number of times, and he maxed out at almost 99. So definitely good to see there. And hopefully he's available tomorrow. There's no residual tightness or soreness in the forearm, but I'm not going to beat up too much on the manager for using the closer in this situation with the gas can that has been the bullpen for the better part of 2 months.
Just got a couple minutes left here, but I know you wanted to get to this text. Danny B from Toronto says, I think Shapiro and Atkins, a decent baseball minds. However, if they run into Alex Anthopoulos, I believe they should kiss his ring. Double A got Vladdy, Bo, and Cavan, while Shapiro traded Marcus Stroman. How would you like to have him in the rotation? Oh, yeah, another Anthopoulos signing. What did you want to say about that? Because I know you wanted to get to it.
Okay, first off, what ring? Alex Anthopoulos, last I checked, he has no rings. So you're not, I guess you could kiss his wedding ring, but no rings to kiss there.
He's not been at the helm of any of these championship teams. No.
And he left this organization. He went for it, and the farm system was a barren wasteland. And these two guys, hey, there are shortcomings here. Bullpen needs to be better. Rotation probably should have been fortified a little bit more. That is totally fair. But the farm system has been rebuilt. Also, Bichette and Biggio were drafted in 2016, and Alex Anthopoulos left after 2015. So those are Atkins, Shapiro draft picks. So I would just say do your homework next time before you send in a text like that. I appreciate it, but you're incorrect.
Yeah, and I don't want to have to, you know, relitigate this and revisit it, but I think, you know, it's been a rough go. Yes, the bullpen's been bad. The Blue Jays have lost a lot of winnable games here, but this team is in such a good spot right now with the present and with the future moving forward. And it's not a homerish take. It's just the fact that the Blue Jays are in a position with the money that they've been spending, with the draft pick capital, with the draft capital, I should say, that they've made in the draft, and, you know, the prospects capital that they have down in the farm system. How many teams do you think would want to be the Toronto Blue Jays at this point? I would say a large, large, large percentage of them. They are set up not only this year, but for at least the next 5 years and beyond that. They are in such a good spot. And obviously, Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins have been a big part of that with the turnaround of this ball club. There were some tough moments, but brighter days are seemingly ahead. The sun is going to come up tomorrow, Danny B. Don't worry. The Blue Jays picking up a win today, so you should be happy about that as they take down the Red Sox 7-2. You've been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, powered by Jack Links and Hunger Down to the Minors and Feed Your Wild Side. Blue Jays and Red Sox playing game 3 of 4 of this series tomorrow afternoon at Fenway. Robbie Ray, Martin Perez are the scheduled starters. First pitch flies just after 1 p.m. Eastern on the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Show Alley, Tom Young, and Josh Goldberg, I'm Rob Wong. Blue Jays win it 7-2 over the Red Sox. We'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon.